Good morning. Everyone has sheets? Ready to go? Okay. So today is going to be the last segment in this chapter that we're going to learn together called Ma'areches Ha'adam, the arrangement of the person. And at the outset of this, we thought about how, in many respects, our goal is to be the best person that we can be. So we set out to think about what it means to be a person. Now, the last section, which I marked off on your sheets with an A, is Os Zion, where he concludes this chapter with a theme that we talked about last time. You see there's a box around the word Adameh, that the word Adam comes from being similar, Adameh, comparative, so to speak, in a certain case, whatever we understand this, in the image of God, so somehow we can mirror Hashem. So that's the ultimate accomplishment of being a person. The more that we can mirror godliness in our life, that's our best self. So that's the end piece. And that relates to the idea of dimyon, of imagination, we spoke about last time. So that's where he ends. But on the previous column, in Hey and Vav, he mentions two other ideas that are also, I wouldn't say comprehensive definitions of Adam, of a person, of what it means to be our best self, but they are components of what it means to be our best self. So let's start with the letter B at the top. This is Os Hey, you see it. He quotes the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara tells us as follows, Mi she'ein lo isha, eino Adam. A man who doesn't have a wife, or a woman, literally translated, is not a person. As it says in the Pasuk, Vayikra Shemam Adam. He called their name Adam. So why is this true? Why should it be that a person who is not with another person, is not an Adam? Skip the next paragraph, go to the following paragraph. Hinenu lomdim mikan sheha Adam lo nivra la'atzmo. Why did an Isha come onto the scene in the first place? Because the Torah and the Ribbono Shel Olam instructed us, lo tov heyos ha'adam levado. It's not good that a person should be alone. Meaning, a person shouldn't live for themselves. So technically, in the standard motif, that refers to an Ish and an Isha, a married couple. But that can be expanded. That's just a typology, but that could be expanded in a lot of different applications. The question is, how do we live? How do we define ourselves? Are we solitary, exclusive, and only self-interested? Or do we define ourselves more broadly? What does it mean to be an Adam? And the answer is, to be a person means to be someone who is part of a community or considers others, or thinks about others, defines themselves in the context of other people. There is a fantastic, incredible explanation, which the full scope of it is beyond the time that we have together, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention it. There was a great Rosh Hashiva, rabbinic luminary, at the beginning of the 19th century. His name was Rav Shimon Shkup. He lived in Poland. He was a super giant. He wrote a book called Share Yosher, the gates of the strait. Yosher, because that was the letters of his parents' names, his father and his mother. So the introduction of the Share Yosher, he defines what he calls Kedusha, sanctity. So that is a very important conversation, but that's not the part that I want to focus on. He says, I'm struggling to understand how could it be that the Torah expects us to love others like we love ourselves, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, and yet the Gemara says that chayecha kodmin. Rabbi Akiva has a story where if you're walking, God forbid, in a desert, I hope this never happened to anybody, and it's just you and one other person, there's one jug of water, and you can only get to the local cell phone if you drink the whole thing by yourself, otherwise you'll both die. You familiar with this story?
Yeah.
Yeah? So Rabbi Akiva says, drink it and don't split it, because it's better that you should take care of yourself rather than both of you die. That's a very short version of a very complicated story. So Reb Shimon Shkup asks, he says, I don't understand. How could it be that you take care of others like yourself, and yet you prioritize yourself? So he says, it depends on how you define yourself. if you define yourself strictly as me, the individual, then that's the most narrow definition of how to define yourself. And then it's going to be very difficult to treat other people like yourself, because you have to prioritize yourself, and yourself is to the exclusion of everybody else around you. He says, but if you define yourself, your sense of self, as including others in concentric circles, so in one case, it would include a spouse or a child or family at large, extended family, friends, community, all of humanity. So then it's not necessarily a contradiction, because yes, I have to prioritize myself, but myself could include the people around me. So if you put that together with Rav Volbi, is what Rav Volbi is saying is that if you only define yourself in the most narrow and narcissistic way, as I'm just here for myself, and everybody else is an add-on, so he says that's not an Adam. An Adam is the context of community, of somebody else. That's what Rav Soloveitchik points out in an essay, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, that Adam and Chava were the first community. It was very small, it was just the two of them, but that constituted community. So if you define yourself just as an exclusive soul being, then you're not really an Adam. You're not the fullest person that you can become. But if you define yourself in the context of others, who else could be included in my sense of self? How do I fit into a community? How do I fit into others? So then you're being the best self. You are an Adam. That's point number two. Point number three is also very fascinating. Take a look here on the bottom. You see where the letter C is. And this is what I want to develop a little more this morning. V'amar Abba Lazar, he quotes the Gemara and Yevamos. Also, same context. Kol Adam she'ein lo karka, eino Adam. Any person who doesn't have karka, what does karka mean?
Land,
that's right. If you don't have land, you're not a person. Shene'emar, as it says in the Pasuk, Hashemayim, the heavens, are the heavens for God. V'ha'aretz, and the land, Nasan levnei Adam, was given to Bnei Adam. So what does that mean? If you don't have land, so does that mean if you work in finance, so then you're not a person because you don't work the land? Does that mean if you're, I don't know, a teacher? If you're a stock trader? I don't know. What does it mean that if you don't have karka, you're not an Adam? Yeah?
I mean, in the context of the Pesach, if you can't be an atheist, you have to be involved with the world.
Okay. You're not fully expressing your idea of an Adam if you're not rooted in the terra firma in this earth. I have a beautiful word for you to corroborate that approach, which is not Rav Volbi's approach, but it's very good.
Okay.
Rav Schwartz, you should live and be well, should have shalom. Rav Schwartz once observed, he told us as rabbis, especially as younger rabbis, he said, the Pasuk says, Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaaseh tov v'lo yechata. There's no person, there's no tzadik, there's no righteous person who is ba'aretz in the land, who will do good and won't make a mistake. There's no such thing. Everybody makes mistakes, even a tzaddik. So Schwartz said this, he said, look at the pasuk carefully. The pasuk says, ain't tzaddik ba'aretz. There is no righteous person in the land. If you want to live in an ivory tower, secluded from everybody else, in some spiritual haven, then it's possible you won't make any mistakes, you won't do any averus. But if you are ba'aretz, if you are living with people, if you're interacting with people, if you're living in this world, then by definition, you're going to make mistakes, and that's okay. So that's the first thing. Beautiful. To be an Adam means you can't disassociate with the chelek ha'adama of the person, of the earth. Right? Our goal is to be our best selves, meaning in a spiritual sense, from the Adamela Elyon. We should be noble. We should be driven by our intellect, by our spirit, by our neshama, by our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that drive carries along with it the elevation of the Aretz, of the Adama. So that's one. A second approach And that's what Rav Volbi then quotes from the Mashgiach, Rabbi Yerucham of Mir. He says, in the next paragraph, just skip ahead, in Yiddish, Narnit Krechen in Himmel. Don't jump to the heavens. You have to be rooted. You have to be grounded. Lo letapes. You have to be careful. You have to make sure that as we grow in our journey connecting to Hashem, that we don't leave behind all of the aspects of life, of the practical world that we live in. Right? Sometimes we can have such lofty goals, but they're not connected to reality. What did Yaakov Avinu see? What was the greatness, the genius, the inspiration of Yaakov Avinu's dream? What did he see in the dream? He saw the heavens, but he saw it in the context of a ladder. So it was Sulam Mutzav Arza. There was a base that was in this earth that knew where we came from and what our context is and the environment in which we live. And he was able to connect that through a ladder in his vision, Verosho, and the top, Magia HaShemaima, was reaching the heavens. So the second thing is that if a person doesn't have Karka, Eino Adam, if a person doesn't have the understanding that his spiritual aspirations or her spiritual visions have to be rooted in reality, you know, we would never accomplish anything. Because we're going to set our sights on something that's not relevant to us. Right? We have to set spiritual goals that we can reach through this ladder. That's basically rooted in reality. If it's not rooted in reality, then we're never going to accomplish. So he says, to be an Adam, to be the full person that we want to become, so we have to have karka, we have to have terra firma under our feet. That's the second issue. But the third way of thinking about this, and he references that in Perek Ches, he's going to talk about this, although in Perek Ches, in the eighth chapter, he doesn't talk about this particular approach, is understanding what does it mean that a person has karka, that they have a makom, a place. See what he says here on the second line, right after that quote from the parentheses from the Gemara in Yevamos? Gam mikomo shel ha'adam. Also, the place of the person who chelek mimenu. That's a part of him. Umakomo shel ha'adam, and the place of the person who hakarka. That is the ground. When we say that a person, to be an adam, needs karka, it means they need a makom. Now that's not so easy. What does it mean to need a makom? What does it mean to have a makom? I have a feeling, I don't know why, we could think about this more, that women have an easier time with this than men. I'll give you an example of one dimension of this. The Gemara says in Brachos that hakoveya makom l'tfilaso, a person who sets a makom, a place for their davening, Elokei Avraham be'ezro, the God of Avraham is in their assistance. So men have a very difficult time doing this. I have a very difficult time doing this. I'm not spying on what's going on in the women's section. But from my understanding, you don't have a lot of pacing in the women's section. Right? That's not common. No, right? It's not. You have a makom and you sit there or you stand there. Do you ever watch what goes on in the men's section?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable, right? You have people, they're pacing, they're walking, they're strolling. Right? It's like a bizarre thing. We just can't stand there. We can't find a makom, right?
You have a seat.
We have. Lo chaser. We have a seat. We just can't sit in it. You see that? Right? Is that not true? There's the pacing coming, going, especially Chazars, there's wandering, people just wandering aimlessly. They're davening, but they're also like, there's no makom. So it's a big challenge. So there's something about this. Why is it that the men have such a hard time with the makom when it comes to davening? Well, makom doesn't just mean, or perhaps primarily, could be defined not as a geographic place. So Rav Soloveitchik, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, has an essay that was published decades ago in a small journal called Gesher, called Sacred and Profane. It's an English essay where he talks about the definition of Kedusha, of sanctity. And he talks about Kedusha Sazman, sanctity of time, like Shabbos, Yontif, or Shchodesh, and Kedusha Smakom, sanctity of place. So that could be the Beis HaMikdash, it could be a Beis HaKnesses, synagogue, it could be Yerushalayim. In the context of the discussion of Kedusha Smakom, he talks about the idea of Makom in a more expansive way. And he talks about the difference between wanderers and city dwellers. Now, it's true, this is independent of the issue of shepherds, which is very important in the Jewish tradition. If you think about our forebears as shepherds, which is very important, and shepherds are largely nomadic. But there's a different issue in terms of thinking about why Eretz Yisrael is so important, why we had to have cities, why is it that people need to have a makom, that in the development of civilization, we needed to move toward finding a city? Because he says that a makom is not so much a place as much as it is an identity. Your makom becomes part of your identity. Right, when you tell somebody, I'm from the Midwest, which is now what I tell people. So what does that mean? It means something about you. When I say I am from the Midwest, it means I'm friendly, I'm fleishig, you know, I'm very welcoming, you know, different things. Because that's how I identify myself. When a person stakes out a makom for themselves, they say, this is who I identify with. You know, every makom has its nature, has its qualities. That's true geographically, of course, horticulturally. My daughter asked me yesterday, we were straightening up some of the things that had been the remnants of Sukkos, like the esrogim and things. So she said, oh, because I had the kids, they cut up the esrog so they could see the inside and the seeds. So she says, can we grow an esrog tree here? So I was thinking to myself, maybe in the Garfield Park Conservatory you can grow an esrog, but you can't grow an esrog tree here. Esrogim don't grow in Chicago. They grow in warm climates. They grow in Israel. They grow in Egypt. They grow in Italy. Maybe they grow in California. I don't know. Because every place has its qualities from a horticultural standpoint, but it's also true socially and from an identity place, right? When you meet people and someone says, I'm from the city. Now, by the way, just without just offending anybody, when someone says they're from the city, that means they're from Manhattan. You should not be confused. I'm sorry to say that, but that's what it is. Could get in a lot of trouble for saying that. But they mean something when they say that. I'm from the city. Right? There's a specific association with a place, with a makom, and it relates to your identity. So when we put down roots in a place, in a city, we're saying, I'm establishing an identity. When a person is a wanderer, so then they don't have, lo aleinu, they don't have an identity. If, God forbid, lo aleinu, a person is homeless, rachamano litzlan, so they mamish don't have a makom. Did you ever read a book or an account of somebody who lived such an existence? It's totally unmoored. There's no grounding, there's no place, there's no identification. So on a spiritual level, this is also true. A person who doesn't have a makom that they come back to doesn't have an identity. So what did the Rav Olshalom say? He says, I'm going to create the world. The first thing I'm going to do is going to tell you a whole story of Bereshis. Rashi says, why? So that you should know there's a makom. It's called Eretz Yisrael and it belongs to you. That's your makom. Wherever you go, that's your makom. That's the place that you identify with. And this is probably why for Rav Kook, the whole future of the Jewish people and our whole story is bound up with the land of Israel, because the land, that's your makom. Right? If you're vacationing somewhere, if you happen to be on vacation or traveling or somewhere, And someone sees you and they say, well, where are you from? You don't say, well, if you're on vacation in Florida, you don't say, I'm from Florida. You're not from Florida. You're vacationing in Florida. But you're from Chicago. You're from Skokie. You're from Northbrook, wherever you're from. Because that's your makom. Wherever you go at the end of the day, that's your makom. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to understand that wherever we go in the world, in our diaspora, in our wanderings, at the end of the day, that's not our makom. Our makom is Eretz Yisrael. It's the land of Israel. Our makom is Yerushalayim. It's the makom of the Beis HaMikdash. So now we can understand, perhaps, what this means. A person who doesn't have a makom, they're not an Adam. They're not their fullest self. Why? Because they don't have a full identity. They're, Rav Soloveitchik describes in this piece, they're spiritually grazing. They find a little something over here, they find something over there, they're chasing this concept, they're chasing that concept, but they're not rooted in something. They don't have a full definition of saying, this is where I belong. Whether that's part of the national definition of how do I connect to Eretz Yisrael and the future of the Jewish people on a national level, but more directly on a personal level. What's my makom? What's my identity? There are lots of different possibilities. And that makom may shift over time. A person might start their life in one makom and then establish a different makom for themselves. Doesn't mean that that makom is fixed. You can buy a house and then sell a house. But there's a big difference between somebody who is constantly grazing and finding different places to stay versus somebody who buys a house and then realizes, you know what? I need a different size. I need a bigger house. Or I need a smaller house. Or I need a house in the suburbs. Different times in our life, we have a different makom. But we have a makom. We have to have a makom. We have to have a place that we come back to for our identity that says, this is who I am. Now that identity is going to come back to the makom, whether it's the makom in davening or the makom in Eretz Yisrael. That identity is going to be essential for establishing our future, of how we see ourselves, of the kind of opportunities that we present, that are presented to us and that we take up, that we present to ourselves in the choices that we make. But being conscious of the fact that we need a makom. Why is it that the men are wandering around and davening? I don't know. But it's not surprising to me that Chazal refer to, we go back to the Shor Ein Lo Isha Eino Adam, Chazal referred to a wife in the context of a marriage as a bias.
As a what?
Bias, as a house. It has a place that is rooted. There's something, I don't know what it is, we have to figure out about this typology. And it doesn't mean it's true for every individual person. It's a general characterization that somehow women are more comfortable being rooted. They are the bias. They are that sense of identity, of grounding. And we can't put our seat, we can't put our pants in the seat and stay buckled for an hour and a half. You know, wandering up and down the plane I don't know why that is. There's more to think about that. But when we think about shaping our identity and this idea of rootedness, especially for women, I think it's very resonant. And we, the men, need to look at you guys and figure out how is it that you have that ability to create a makom, to be comfortable in that makom, to say, this is my identity. This is what we're going to do as a family, or this is what I'm going to do as a person, or this is who I am. Right? That means having a makom. And maybe, and with this we'll close, that comes from a very profound inner sense of connection to Hashem. How do we refer to God sometimes? Hamakom. Chazal have an expression that he is referred to as Makomo Shel Olam. God is the makom of the world. Hu Makomo Shel Olam. A person who has a healthy sense of self, a spiritual sense of self, a spiritual self-esteem that is rooted in the presence of Hashem, in the Makomo Shel Olam, so then they have an identity.
I have this hunch that women have a much more innate appreciation of Hashem being Makomo Shel Olam. They're more comfortable with that bias concept that God is Makomo Shel Olam, and therefore it's easier for women to establish a makom, to establish a bias. That's a, it's just an innate quality that the Ribono Shel Olam endowed women with, to be able to feel that rootedness with God. That's why perhaps women have a special connection with tefillah. Chana is the model for tefillah. There's so many different aspects of this. But what it means to be an Adam, in a certain sense, in this way, it's easier for women to be an Adam. Because women have this innate connection to Makomo Shel Olam, this innate ability to create a definition for themselves, for yourselves, as this is my identity, my spiritual identity. And then that's going to be my vision for myself. We men, I don't know what we're doing. We're all over the place. So that's what we need to figure out. So to summarize today, we really thought about three things, and then the third one had three components. Number one was the goal of Adam El Elyon. The ideal Adam is being similar to God, pursuing our spiritual identity. The second one of Vayikra Shemam Adam, that we're only a full Adam when we incorporate others into our identity. And then the third being that an Adam requires a makom, and that makom on three levels. The first one being engaged in the world to be a full Adam. The second one being grounded in our spiritual goals. And the third one is having a makom, meaning having an identity. And that identity being rooted ultimately, not just in Eretz Yisrael, which is the makom of Klal Yisrael, but Makomo Shel Olam in the Ribono Shel Olam. I hope you have a great week. We'll move on to Mirtzah Hashem next week.